Let's read together Isaiah chapter 2. In the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, we have a prediction of the coming blessings for Israel and the nations when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom here on this earth. We also have a prediction of the purging judgments that will take place before that great time of blessing. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 2, with some background notes. You know, when I was in grade school, we had a class trip to the United Nations in New York City. I remember seeing Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, inscribed in stone at the entrance of the impressive UN building. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Well, when I came home, I was all excited, and I said to my father, Dad, the United Nations has a Bible verse inscribed in stone right at the entrance to their building. I'll never forget what my father said. He said, David, that verse is from the Bible, all right. And it's a prophecy about a great time of peace to come on this earth in the future. But it will never be the UN that brings in world peace. World peace will only come with the return of Christ. Well, I have never forgotten that teaching. We can be thankful for every effort of man to bring about world peace, but ultimately, world peace will only come when the Lord returns. These are the latter days, or last days, that Isaiah is speaking of here in verse 2. At that time, wars and the weapons of war will be a thing of the past. Technology and machinery will only be used for peaceful purposes. This great time of peace will not happen automatically, and it will not be brought about by the UN, the United Nations, or any other world organization. In fact, it will not even be accomplished by the church. No, the ending of all wars and the establishment of peace on this earth will only take place when the Lord returns. Notice from verses 3 and 4 that the Lord himself is here on this earth at that time. Let's move then to our doctrinal teaching points for Isaiah chapter 2. Doctrinal point number 1, the future millennium will be a time of godliness and peace. The future millennium will be a time of godliness and peace. We learn from Revelation chapter 20 that this great time of godliness and peace to come on this earth when the Lord returns will last 1,000 years. That's why this time is known as the millennium. Notice from verse 3 here in Isaiah chapter 2 that Jerusalem will be the headquarters of this earthly kingdom of Christ. And there will be a new temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You can read about the details of this millennial temple in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. Notice that this great time of earthly blessing and peace is not just for restored Israel, but also for the believing nations as well. Verses 2 and 3. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Remember, this prophecy is not to be spiritualized away to the present godliness and peace in the church, which some Christians do. No, this is a prophecy predicting the spiritual restoration of the literal nation of Israel and the conversion of many Gentiles in the future. These will make up the literal nations of the millennial kingdom of Christ. The future millennium will be a time of godliness and peace. Doctrine point number two, the future tribulation will be a time of humbling and terror. The future tribulation will be a time of humbling and terror. Verses 5 through 21. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People are brought down, and every man is humble. Do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The proud looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower and upon every fortified wall, upon the ships of Tarshish and upon all the beautiful vessels. The pride of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In verse 5, Isaiah calls on Judah to repent in view of the promise of future restoration. And then in verses 6 through 8, Isaiah lists the sins in which Judah has been involved and for which she must be judged. Her involvement with the idolatry of the Assyrians in the east and with the occult practices of the Philistines along the western coast of the Mediterranean Sea, verse 6. Judah's trust in wealth and military might, verse 7. And her worship of idols of her own making, verse 8. All of these sins could be applied to our own nation today, couldn't they? Beginning in verse 9, there is the warning of judgment to come. The pride of man will be brought down. Verse 9, people are brought down. Every man is humble. Do not forgive them. And verse 11, the proud looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And verse 17, the pride of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. Because of this coming judgment, people will try to hide from the terror of the Lord. Verse 10, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord. Verse 19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord. And verse 21, they will go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks from the terror of the Lord. When will this time of judgment be? Verse 12 says that it will be on the day of reckoning or the day of the Lord. In general, the day of the Lord in the Old Testament is any time that the Lord intervenes in the affairs of nations. It could be for blessing or for judgment. Here in this second half of Isaiah chapter 2, it's for judgment. Now, there's both an historical or past aspect to the day of the Lord, as well as an eschatological or future aspect to the day of the Lord. Well, what is it here in Isaiah chapter 2? It is primarily eschatological. It is primarily future, although there was an historical aspect when Judah was conquered by the Babylonians and taken into captivity. At that time, there were no more ships with smelted metal going from Judah to Tarshish, verse 16. At that time, idolatry was removed from Judah. Verse 18. But Isaiah 2 is mostly about the judgments of God upon this earth in the last days. This time is known as the tribulation period and precedes the return of the Lord and his millennial kingdom. When Isaiah uses the phrase in that day, which he does a number of times throughout the book of Isaiah, as we'll see, he is primarily thinking of the eschatological day of the Lord. Notice verse 11. And the Lord alone in that day. Verse 17. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Verse 20. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold. So Isaiah is primarily thinking of the eschatological or future day of the Lord. Furthermore, notice how Isaiah moves in this chapter from judgment on Judah to worldwide judgment of the tribulation period. Look at the end of verse 19. When he arises to shake the earth mightily. And the end of verse 21. When he arises to shake the earth mightily. This is a worldwide scope that's in view here. The whole earth. Not just judgment on Judah of the past, but of the future, latter days, worldwide. The future tribulation will be a time of humbling and terror. What about practical application from Isaiah chapter 2? Change your value system now before it's too late. Change your value system now before it's too late. Verse 22. Sever yourselves from such a man, or stop trusting in men whose breath is in his nostrils. For of what account is he? We see in verses 20 and 21 that during the tribulation period of the future, people will throw away silver and gold in order to hide and survive. But it's too late for them. But it's not too late for you. If you're here tonight as an unbeliever, it's not too late for you. There's coming a day when your silver and gold and whatever other idols you've placed between yourself and God will have no value. And your trust in man rather than in God will be futile. Why not change your value system now and become a Christian before it's too late? Receive Christ as your personal Savior and join the family of God. Now, if you're here tonight as a believer, what is your value system right now? Are you trusting in man? Is your real treasure here on this earth? Or is it in heaven? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, that you cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Again, he said, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both. It's one or the other. At the judgment seat of Christ, our lives will be reviewed and our value system analyzed. How are we going to measure up? Suppose the Lord were to return this week. Change your value system now before it's too late.